Manx Radio's Update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You're listening to Manx Radio FM. I am Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus sport, business, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person. Coming up, there's a suggestion the island's retirement age could be increased to cope with the ageing population. However, the Treasury Minister says that won't happen on his watch. Car parking returned to Castletown Square today after the local authority reversed its decision to pedestrianise the area all year round. And the number of scam emails is on the rise. That's all coming up in the next 30 minutes. First of all, though, with the update news headlines, here's Christian Jones. Fast to my.
There are no plans to increase the retirement age on the Isle of Man, according to the Treasury Minister. It's after an HSBC economist said the age needs to be increased to 73 due to the cost of the ageing population being unsustainable. Meanwhile, the Treasury Minister says plans for an NHS levy were abandoned because of the vast majority of residents who are opposed to the extra tax. It follows calls from the Trades Union Council for a clear explanation as to why the proposal was scrapped, but Alex Allinson admits the dropping the levy is not politically motivated.
This administration is not thinking about between now and next year. When you go back to Sir Jonathan Michael's report, having a healthcare levy was one of his proposals. We will not be going forward with a healthcare levy.
After being pedestrianised for the summer season, vehicles will once again be able to park on Castletown Square from today. It had been closed year-round, however parking will once again be available over the winter months following a decision by the new Board of Commissioners. And one of Joey Dunlop's TT-winning bikes is due to go up to auction next month. His Honda RC30, which won the Formula One race in 1988, is expected to go under the hammer for £100,000. In the latest international news, the UK Chancellor has given a hint tax rises could be part of her budget in November.
In the months ahead, we will face further tests, with the choices to come made all the harder by harsh global headwinds and the long-term damage done to our country, which is becoming ever clearer.
Most experts now feel tax rises are inevitable, with the economy having stalled and growth halved to come by. The COVID inquiries heard the very fabric of childhood was disrupted by the pandemic and lockdowns. Former Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to give evidence on how children were considered when choices were made about education and welfare. And J.K. Rowling has called Emma Watson ignorant as their rift over transgender rights continues. Last week, the actress said she still loved the author despite their opposing views. Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Thank you, Christian. Let's check out the weather. Little change this evening. However, a small risk of patchy light rain overnight, minimum temperature 10 Celsius. Largely cloudy tomorrow, with outbreaks of rain or drizzle from time to time. The south-southwest wind soon freshening up, then further increasing fresh to strong later. Temperatures 16 or 17 at best. Then looking ahead to Wednesday, rain to start the day then. This tending to clear as the morning progresses, although staying rather cloudy. A fresh to strong south-southwest wind and a highest temperature of 17 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One architectural design company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813-977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
An economist claims the island state pension age needs to be upward of 70 to cope with the ageing population. James Pomeroy of HSBC says changing demographics have made the current retirement age unsustainable.
When you look at the ageing population challenge across most of the Western world, you've really got a situation where the number of pensioners is rising by about 1.5 to 2% per year. And you think about what that does in terms of pension costs, healthcare costs, social care costs, it's pretty unsustainable at a time where the number of workers per pensioner is falling and falling and falling. So I think you've got to make some tough decisions, and governments across the world have got to seriously think about raising retirement ages. Now, not by a year or two, I think substantially north of 70, 72, 73, those sorts of numbers are our sort of base case of where retirement ages need to get to. But you add on top of that questions about how healthcare is funded, how social care is funded, whether pensions should be means tested in one way or another. These are questions I think more and more government ministers, both here and in the UK and across Europe, are going to have to think a lot more about.
Maybe governments around the world need to start thinking about things that would make it more attractive for people to perhaps do part-time work as they ease into retirement.
That's it. There's a number of different ways this is easier today than it ever has been, partly because of the nature of work. But actually, in most economies in the developed world now, most work that people do is some sort of services that you can do until you're 70 or older. And many people do. And there is a question, as you say, about actually, could we make this a part-time thing? Could you ease people into it? Are there certain jobs that are going to be better suited for people with that experience? It's also worth noting, in these professional services jobs, people when they're in their 60s or 70s are hugely valuable to the population. That is a challenge as well. So anything we can do to keep people in work a little bit longer would be good for public finances, and it'd be good for the economy.
In response, the Treasury Minister says there are no plans to increase the retirement age. Speaking live on Manx Radio Breakfast, Alex Allenson says more people need to be skilled and encouraged to get back to the workforce to ensure sustainability going forward.
There are no plans to increase the state pension age. But I think what he did say was very true in terms of right across the Western world, we have an ageing population. We need to make absolutely certain we encourage more people to take part in the workforce of whatever age, and we try to get some of those people who aren't economically active at the moment due to illnesses back into the workforce so that we have a sustainable economy going forward.
You did talk there about the sustainability of the pension fund. We know there is some concern there. You did bring forward some proposals to change the triple lock earlier this year that were put on pause. If not raising the age, if not changing the triple lock, what are you going to do to make that more sustainable?
Well, there's a whole range of things that we've consulted on, we've debated in Timwald. You're right that the forecasts are that we've got a ring-fenced national insurance fund. It's currently over £1 billion, which is used to pay for pensions and certain other state benefits, as well as a small proportion of it going to fund the NHS. That's forecast to run out in 2046-47 if we do nothing. We've already made changes to the pension, introducing the new Manx state pension. But what we need to do is look at the amount of money coming into that that then goes out to paying pensions. And one of the proposals that came forward at the beginning of this year was to change the uprating of the state pension to have it far more twinned with Isle of Man inflation rates rather than what the UK do, which at the moment is the triple lock. What we've said after the debate in January is that we will maintain the triple lock, but we need to have that conversation with people about how we go forward in terms of uprating the pension. And if we were to increase pensions according to Isle of Man inflation or 2% as a minimum, then that fund would be sustainable into the future. And that's one of the things that we'll be consulting on next year.
You're listening to Update on Manx Radio FM. The island's cyber security centre says the number of suspicious emails being reported has almost doubled over the year. My colleague Christian Jones has been looking at the figures. Let's first look at what's behind the rise.
Yeah, faster, my Dave. So between July and August, we have 1,506 suspicious emails. They were flagged to the authorities, and that's up from just a little under 800 in May and June. Now, most contained malicious links. There was also a noticeable increase in advance fee fraud, and that's where people are tricked into paying money up front on the false promise of a much larger reward that actually never materialises.
Right, okay. So what were the other reports, the threats that were reported?
Also, alongside the emails, we had 69 separate what are called cyber concerns. They were logged, including phishing, fraudulent websites, business email compromise. Manx.net was the most impersonated service locally, but attackers also mimicked anti-malware software, investment platforms, competitions, and actually cloud storage providers too.
Have you any examples of businesses being directly targeted?
Well, the report warns that compromised accounts are still being exploited, especially where multi-factor authentication hasn't been used. In one case, a financial firm's systems were advertised for sale on the dark web after suspected misuse of outdated security tokens. Now, the CSE also flagged flaws in popular storage devices used by small businesses, which would actually allow criminals to break in, steal files, and if they're left unexposed online.
The wider picture?
Well, internationally, the UK was identified as the third most targeted country, facing over 100 million malicious attempts in just 3 months. Breaches involving Salesforce and Salesloft affected more than 700 organisations, while UK telecoms provider Colt was hit by a state-linked hacking group, and the Dutch Caribbean ransomware attacks paralysed government systems for weeks, underlining the risks faced by smaller jurisdictions like the Isle of Man.
Okay, Christian, and the advice here?
Well, I mean, quite simply, residents and businesses, they're being urged to stay vigilant, report anything suspicious to the Office of Cybersecurity and Information Assurance.
Thank you, Christian. Kind of staying on a similar theme, really, AI-generated Isle of Man travel guides have come unstuck with photos either not of the island or artificially generated pictures. Visit Isle of Man Chief Executive Deborah Heather explains scams of this nature on Nothing New.
They are clearly not about the Isle of Man. They're AI generated, and people are buying these as guides. And, you know, there are pictures that aren't here. Equally, we've had the same recently on third party excursion sites. So groups of people buying excursions online for when they're coming in on a cruise, or any other reason, but the biggest incidents have been on cruises where they're paying for stuff and their tickets are supposed to be included for, say, some of Manx National Heritage, and it's not. The people are not turning up to collect them. Again, they're not using photography that's on the Isle of Man. So there's a real sort of digital AI sort of issue out there around genuine bookings and genuine activities. I think in terms of the online travel agencies, it did kind of sort itself out, because obviously the consumers became aware of it, became more cynical about it. But what I would encourage certainly the island's operators to do is make sure whatever they're doing is on Visit Isle of Man. Given it's a government-owned, delivered website, it's got a security element for those people that want to buy from it and that want to contact them. There's too many people off island abusing the system, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and what can be done to stop it, I suppose?
In past, as I said, with the OTAs, they eventually, because of consumer pressure, they had to start checking stuff. It's virtually impossible, if I'm honest, Aaron. They don't qualify their properties. They don't visit them to make sure they exist. And that's why the Isle of Man's really quite unique, because we have a registration scheme for accommodation where we actually do that.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The ex-military talent in the workplace business leader forum took place at the Comus Hotel in Douglas today. The event highlighted the wide range of transferable skills and qualifications veterans have to offer. Lieutenant Governor Sir John Lorimer told Chris Pearson that the Armed Forces Covenant is a project in particular that really matters.
I'm a great fan of the Armed Forces Covenant, and it was great to hear that being raised, also the Employers Recognition Scheme. And my only point I would make about the Armed Forces Covenant, if firms are thinking about signing up for it, or organisations thinking about signing up for it, you know, what you sign up to do, please do. It's not, don't just play lip service to it. It really, really matters. And it was great to be able to hear some of the speakers today as well. And some of the things that were raised absolutely struck a chord with me in terms of my experience of getting ready to leave the military after a relatively long time. So that was really good.
When we speak about veterans, people think of the Isle of Man in terms of probably a low number of veterans. Do we have any sort of clue how many there are living here?
Absolutely. In the last census back in 2021, I think it was something like 2,642 veterans. I actually believe there are a lot more. I really do. And the veteran is anyone who's been in the services for one day or more. So you can have some really young people who've served their time in the military and then are on island and then are looking for civilian employment. So it's not just the old people like me, it's also real youngsters. Yes, absolutely, Chris. But also it's youngsters who are looking for, you know, serve out a full career in civilian employment. They've got a little bit of experience from the military. And I think you'll find some of the qualities that I've described, you'll find them in spades in those kind of young veterans. So we've got a real pool talent on the island.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Let's begin on the roads, and the mountain is closed from Brandywell to the Cregner Bar for drainage work. That stretch of the road will remain closed for the next 3 weeks. Businesses, however, on the mountain will be open as normal. Down at the airport, everything's looking good. Aer Lingus Dublin is about to depart any moment. Then there is the Loganair at 20 past 6 to Liverpool, the Gatwick EasyJet at 10 to 7 and the Loganair at 8:15 to Edinburgh, all on time. And in terms of arrivals into Ronaldsway, everything's looking good. The EasyJet Gatwick is expected in very soon, in the next 20 minutes or so. Loganair, Gatwick 10 to 6 and the Loganair Edinburgh 7:45 is also showing on time. And the Loganair services from London City and Liverpool due to arrive at 8:10 and 8:15 respectively, and everything's looking good out at sea as well.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
Castletown Square has partially returned to being used for car parking from today, ahead of the winter months. The previous Board of Commissioners reversed its decision to have the area pedestrianised all year round ahead of the April local authority election. The current board carried out a consultation earlier this year to find out people's views, the results of which are yet to be published. But what we do know is that not all are in favour of losing the open space to vehicles.
In the summer, I like it to be the way it's been.
So you think this idea of a six-month split between having it open for people and then having it for cars is a good idea?
That's pleasing everybody.
If it's close to the shops, it is handy.
Don't you have parking over there? There's a bit of parking over there.
It's usually pretty full, isn't it?
I'm not too sure, really, but I think it's quite nice to just, you know, have the sort of space where people can just sit and have a little coffee, and, you know.
Did you come down when they had the screens and showing things, sports, films?
Yes, I've been before, when they've had little screens and stuff.
You enjoyed that?
Yeah, it was really lovely, It's just a nice like, little sort of community vibe.
But the idea of splitting it six months, and having parking in the winter when it's a bit bleak.
Yeah, but it just makes the winter more miserable then, doesn't it? There's less to do in the wintertime because people still like to come out and do stuff in the winter,
so
don't
you think they?
They
should carry on having entertainment here.
Yeah, I never struggle with parking down here when I'm in Castletown.
So you find plenty of parking? You think it's okay?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Parking over there. Yourself as
I think they've got plenty, you know, back over that bit, you know, next to the ocean and that. So yeah, I think the nice thing about Castletown is that it's like an open space. It's nice and clean as well, and there's always something going on. Like, I used to live here a few years ago, and it's just so nice. Like, the community around here is really nice, and I think it's really good that they've got this open space, you know, with the pool tables and
having
and
cars
the entertainment.
In there, you think would spoil it?
I think it would, actually.
Yeah. There's always someone down here, you know.
Yeah.
You know, little like pool tables, whatever they have over there.
Car park somewhere else. I don't know. There's not enough space.
Park somewhere else.
You're listening to Update on Manx Radio FM. The Minister for the Cabinet Office has confirmed more than 300 homes out of over 1,300 granted planning permission have been built during this administration. Speaking at the government conference, David Ashford outlined how more needs to be done to hit government targets. The minister also believes the Objective Assessment of Housing Need report will benefit the island.
This administration has looked at housing differently. We've always tended in the island to segment housing up, and this is something I've spoken about for many years that I've been in Manx politics, where you look at social housing in one bubble, you look at affordable housing in terms of first-time buyers in another bubble, you look at the top-end property, you look at retirement property, all separately, and rental property. The actual fact is all of those circles overlap. It all joins together, and this is what the OHAN has done. This government has decided to take a strategic approach to looking at housing and see the overall picture, how it interlinks and what we need as a population right the way through to 2041. So although it might surprise a few people that's never been done before, this is the first time it's been done in this way, and we actually now have the figures that we can work off to try and provide for our island's needs.
And 1,329 planning permission approvals for new dwellings in this administration. Do we know how many have actually been built, though?
So it's around 339, I think, off the top of my head, that have so far been completed. And this is one of the fundamentals. There is always a gap between the number of properties approved and the number of properties completed. And that's why, as part of the presentation this morning, I said one of the fundamentals is government engaging with the construction industry, incentivising builds in some areas, perhaps disincentives in other areas, to actually ensure we try and get that churn and be able to meet the targets. But the crucial thing is we do now know, in terms of the broad range of population, depending on where our population curve goes, what levels of housing we are actually likely to need, so we can plan accordingly. Because it's crucial with housing that you're not reactive, because if you're reactive, housing doesn't just suddenly appear magically out of the ground from nowhere. It takes time and lead in time, so it's important we are planning now for our needs over the next 20 years.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's under a year to go until the next general election here in the Isle of Man. But what matters most to younger voters? Youth Select Committee member Alexandra Cowley says housing and retaining young people are the big priorities. She also believes schools could do more to spark debate and get juveniles involved in politics.
Housing's a very pressing issue, availability and cost. That was what we covered in our first kind of year. The report's in draft at the minute, and then it'll be published for everyone to read. And then kind of retaining young people on island, and followed by that, post 16 and 18 opportunities.
And how do you think the island can retain young people?
I don't think that we have a shortage of opportunities there or incentives, but I feel as if they're not maxed out to their capacity. So we've got so much potential with UCM, but we still have a short number of people choosing to go to UCM over going to traditional university. I also think there's a lot of room for apprenticeships over here, but again, I don't think that they are maxed to their potential.
And do you feel as if young people's concerns are actually reflected in the political agenda?
I think that the government are definitely doing a lot to try and have more youth involvement. I mean, the Child First policies come into force, and in the Youth Select Committee, we are actually able to give our opinion, and we're asked to speak on it for the creation of it. But overall, I think it's quite challenging, because obviously we have an ageing population, demographics, there's quite a small proportion of young people, and so often it's easy for the needs to not be reflected in policy and more focused on older people.
You are listening to Update here on Manx Radio FM with myself, Dave Moore. Yesterday, a group of almost 90 people walked the length of the Heritage Trail from Douglas to Peel as part of Manx charity Motivate Addiction Services Road to Recovery event. It's the first time the organisation has put on something like this. It falls during September, which is designated the National Recovery Month. Just over an hour into the walk, our very fit young reporter, Lewis Foster, caught up with trainee support worker Jason McKee and service user George.
Yeah, it's going really well, Lewis. I think we're about 4.5 miles in. Weather's held out for us. It's been a lovely morning so far, walking along with everyone, yeah. Brilliant.
How many people have you got there with you?
This morning we've got 87 people doing the walk. So, you know, that's absolutely amazing to have that amount of people doing the walk.
Titled The Road to Recovery, so it's a symbolic walk. It's for those who are in recovery themselves, or just for those who want to show solidarity and support. What's the camaraderie like this morning? Have you been having a few of those conversations with the other walkers?
Yeah, I have, yeah. I've been walking along with a chap, and he's now nearly how many years are you now in?
I'll be 5 years next month. And yeah, Motivate's been a massive help for me. And I'm desperate to come down today to do the walk. And yeah, it's been lovely catching up with Jason. I think we were there together at the start. So yeah.
Like we say, Jason, Road to Recovery. Tell us what it's all about and what it means to those taking part.
So today we've got service users, we've got friends, family, some young children. We've even got a dog further on. The dog's come out for the walk as well. So, you know, this is just about showing that, you know, we can all walk side by side and that no one has to walk their recovery journey alone. You know, when people connect, feel part of a community, not only helps them recover, but, you know, friends, family that have been impacted by their addiction. So I think it's, you know, really important that we celebrate that, you know, people can recover. And, you know, obviously families and communities do too.
We'll wrap up update with sport now, motorcycle racing. Dean Harrison will return to the superbike class for Honda at this weekend's BSB Championship round at Alton Park in Cheshire. The Laxey-based TT winner, who's been competing in Supersport this season, replaces the injured Andrew Irwin, who's been ruled out for the rest of the campaign. Meanwhile, Peter Hickman and Davey Todd will be taking part in this year's Macau Grand Prix. The 810 racing owners and teammates had been hinting they wouldn't be competing this year due to logistical reasons. However, the pairs confirmed they will be back for the event, which takes place in mid-November. Last year's meeting was washed out due to torrential rain. Someone who won't be there is 9-time Macau Grand Prix winner Michael Rutter. He's still recovering from his crash at this year's TT. Entries for the event closed early this month, with two Manx riders, Michael Evans and Marcus Simpson, reported to be taking part among the 20-strong entry list. And the official Macau Motorcycle Grand Prix entry list is due to be confirmed within the next fortnight. One of Joey Dunlop's TT-winning bikes is due to go to auction next month. His Honda RC30, which won the Formula One race in 1988, is due to go under the hammer at the Classic Motorcycle Mechanics Show in the UK during October. Also available is his Ulster Grand Prix-winning Honda RC45 from 1999. Both machines are expected to be sold in the region of £100,000 each. Douglas Royal moved to the top of the Canada Life Women's League yesterday with a 2-1 win away at Russian United. Kaylee Georgeson was among the scorers as they made it 2 wins out of 2. And finally, members of St John Ambulance Isle of Man have been in Gibraltar helping out at the Netball World Youth Cup. The volunteers have been working alongside their local counterparts for the past week during the tournament. And that's it for Update for tonight. My thanks to newsreader Christian Jones. And coming up next on Manx Radio FM, it's Wild Thing with Howard Kane. And if you know somebody who'd like a daily dose of what's been going on in the Isle of Man, tell them that Update is available to subscribe to or just download as a podcast. Usual places apply. And also, if you have anything we should know about, by all means, get in touch. update@manxradio.com is the best route. That's it from myself, Dave Moore. Beth Espy should be back tomorrow with Update. Until then, it's goodbye for now.